Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. Hope you're having a great day. So here's a question for you. Have you ever wondered why you maybe feel sluggish at times physically, but maybe spiritually too? Maybe it's because you're carrying around invisible toxins. Well, Laura Harris-Smith joins us again today. We had her on the show before, had such a fantastic conversation. We've asked her to come back to talk more about her book, The 30-Day Faith Detox. We're going to talk about how to refresh our body, our mind, our spirit by eliminating toxins from our lives. It is absolutely doable. It's really an amazing program. Laura's got a story personally that she journeyed from. Well, I'm going to let her tell it because she'll tell it better than me. But then she became a nutritionist. She's a pastor's wife, and she's an expert in this field, and I'm so excited. We're going to take your phone calls today. So if you have questions about autoimmune disorders, about your diet, about even your spiritual diet, I really believe Laura has something to say to you today that will help you reset, help you get on the start to a healthy mind, body, spirit. Let me tell you about her. We'll get her on the show. Laura Harris-Smith is a certified nutritional counselor and the founding co-pastor of Eastgate Creative Christian Fellowship with her husband, Chris. She's been a playwright, poet, actress, a TV host on the Shop at Home Network, and is also the author of multiple books. She and her husband, listen to this, have 6 children and 8 grandchildren. They live near Nashville, Tennessee. Dear Laura, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Susie. I'm really happy to be back.
So glad to have you, dear. And before we get into the content of your great book, we always love to start out talking scripture, wondering if you've got a verse you've been thinking about these days.
Yes. Well, you know, Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And this is why the enemy comes after our faith, Susie, is because without faith, we're not even Christian, because it took faith to become a Christian. And while God loves us all and died for us all, we as his children want to be pleasing to him. And evidently, according to his word, that is not possible without faith. So that's really the message behind the 30-Day Faith Detox. It is a book on faith.
Well, cast a vision, if you would, for those who are saved by grace through faith, but have not ever thought of faith as a lifestyle, a way of life. You know what I'm saying? Where it's kind of, to me, the difference between walking on flat ground and then climbing up a hill where you start to engage your muscles. I mean, talk about that, if you would.
Well, I spent the first 17 years of my saved life, that would be from age 10 until age 27, looking at Jesus like the rock. Only the rock. Now, he is a rock, but once I realized that that rock can be a platform from which I rockets in my life, it's much more than just something to stand on. It's a platform from which to soar from. And so really the walk of faith, it is how we live and move and have our being. It's what separates us from the rest of the world. It is the currency of heaven. Anything that we need or want for our lives must come through faith and is very pleasing to God, and we must purchase it with faith. But because of that, it usually is something that involves risk, trust, something waiting, you know. And so this is the rub, is that the lifestyle of faith is not necessarily a boring one. It's not a predictable one, but boy, is it an adventurous one.
Well, talk to us. Bring us back to the time when you were hitting a place of adrenal fatigue that you actually almost died from. Actually, tell us about the time leading up to that moment.
Well, as you described at the beginning of the show, I have such a full life, and there's so many hats that I wear and several different hats on any one given day. I used to hear precious pastor's wife that I had many years ago say, you know, the Proverbs 31 woman, she can do it all, but just not all on the same day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's just some days when you have to try to get a lot of the same, you know, things done in the same day. You have to wear many hats in the same day. I look at you and your life, Susie, and you do that very well. So really what it was with me was that I was, you know, in the middle of that fifth year life and not giving myself enough rest at night. I was getting between 4 and 5 hours sleep a night. And I actually am one of those people who can do that. I've heard there are certain people who can do that and function that way. And so I sort of wore that like a badge, like sleep was a waste of time. You know, I can push through. Are you preaching this morning, Pastor Laura? Yes, I'm preaching. And I didn't go to bed till 3, but I feel great. Glory to God. You know, and all the time not realizing how much I was damaging my internal organs. So you can stay awake if you want to, but your organs will go to sleep for you if you don't, you know, put them to sleep and make them rest. So basically what happened was I was in my late 40s and just, you know, was going in for a doctor visit, started noticing some really strange things that I just attributed to aging, and got some tests back. And sure enough, my cholesterol was going up. My thyroid was slowing down. My metabolism was tanking with it after a lifetime of having very normal blood sugar, even low blood sugar, healthy blood sugar. I was now pre-diabetic, on and on and on. The blood work just shocked me. I was still like, what, 115 pounds, something like that. I'm a little short thing, you know. So it wasn't that I even looked sick on the outside, and it wasn't that I had any less drive. I had begun to notice that my creative focus was waning a little bit. My response was go to the gym, work out harder. Come on, get into shape, Laura. You know, what's wrong with you? And as a result, I started noticing, for example, I'd be on the treadmill and I'd be going to town, you know, and then all of a sudden I'd feel like I was going to pass out. And that had never happened to me. And I would check my heart rate. It would be perfectly normal. Could not figure out what was happening to me. So when I went in for one final test, and it just so happened, this was just one for my hormones. You know, I was at a stage of life. I thought I'd be good. And the doctor decided to throw another test in there, one to test my adrenaline and my cortisol. And of course, those are both hormones that are so necessary to fuel you for life and to give you energy, is what adrenaline does, gives your organs energy, just if I can just put it quite simply like that. And then for the cortisol, that is what calms you down when, you know, you're stressed or when you're in the middle of, you know, a difficult situation or maybe an emotional situation. And so with my body depleted in those, the tests came back to show, I was diagnosed with adrenal burnout. Some call it adrenal fatigue or adrenal exhaustion. Some doctors refer to it as Addison's disease. And yeah, so stage 4 is when all of your organs shut down. And I was told I was in stage 3. And that's why all of my tests were coming back so awry. The levels were just all over the place.
And you can die from that, right? I mean,
oh yeah, I was told make changes or die. And
wow.
And so all of a sudden I was able to see, okay, so when I'm on the treadmill and I start off fine, but all of a sudden I feel like I'm going to pass out. What was happening was the adrenaline that you'd be using in a moment like that, you know, going just running. It would give out, my adrenaline would give out, and it would have to go borrow energy from some other organ. So it was borrowing it from my heart. Well, my heart was already working, trying to, you know, trying to keep me going. And so it just kind of starts robbing Peter to pay Paul. And so as a result, you know, my body, it was just in really bad shape. And it can be further complicated by the fact that although I am a farmer's daughter and a farmer's granddaughter and I love my vegetables, you can put all the right foods in your body, and yet if you are not resting, your body is not going to properly assimilate them. It's not going to properly distribute them. Your organs are going to be fighting over the little nutrients it's getting. It's a combination of eating the right foods at the right time of day and having proper sleep health.
Okay, tell me this, Laura. Other than the drive minus the sleep, those would probably be big, huge factors with this adrenal fatigue. What were the other catalysts? I know you said, you know, even though if your diet was decent, were there other really strong components that led to this place of adrenal fatigue?
Well, of course, we are in ministry, and I was really fascinated by the fact that when this particular doctor asked me about the stress level in my life, my answer to her was, well, I'm happy. I don't feel like I'm in any kind of stress. I have a happy marriage of, you know, at the time it was almost 30 years. Now it's 32 years. My six kids, they all love the Lord. Like, I think I have a happy life. And she said, well, how many other people's stress do you filter? And I said, well, I'm in ministry. Let's see, where do I start? Mm. And she said, did you know that your adrenals don't know the difference between the emotions you're feeling over someone else's pain, which as shepherds, you know, you are, I mean, you get down in the trenches with people. You yeah. cry when people cry. You laugh when they laugh. You feel ownership in their failures and in their triumphs. And that's the way that God has really, not just as shepherds, that's the way he has geared us to be in the family of God. We should be loving each other as ourselves. And so, yes, I was able to say, well, then on any given week, I filter all kinds of stress. I was even fascinated to learn that your adrenals don't know the difference. If you're watching a horror movie, which I didn't do, or an adventure movie or something like that, your adrenals don't know the difference between the person jumping off the cliff or you. Now, obviously, it's heightened and you have other organs that are engaged if you're the one jumping off the cliff. But for when in my recovery, I was told, don't watch things like that. Don't put yourself in stressful situations. Don't even test your body or your levels of mental stress. I was even told your body in particular, Laura, can't take even one trauma. And then, and just a month later, in a very freak accident, I was sitting on my couch when it happened. I was talking to my new daughter-in-law, and I just spun around. You know, I was just invincibly spinning around. I was sitting on the back of the couch, and I was turning my legs around and somehow lost my balance and fell into a wrought iron glass table, punctured a lung, and broke a rib.
Oh, my.
And, you know, all I can think is I'm told I can't even take one trauma. What am I going to do, Lord Jesus? And I could feel, like, the breath leaving me. I felt like someone was just stepping on my chest, later to find out the lung was collapsing. So I can tell you a wonderful testimony that on day three, I cried out to the Lord. Well, I did cry. It hurt to cry out. I was in a lot of pain. I could not actually move. And I, you know, I was in the bed and I just said, Lord, this is not what you promised me. And I need you to heal this. And I am happy to say that in a really powerful encounter with the Lord, he did heal it. And I was so sure that it was healed. I was bending, I was twisting, I was touching my toes, I was jumping up and down. I said, Chris, to my husband, get me in for another x-ray. And he took me in about 36 hours later for another x-ray. And I have the before and after x-rays to prove it. The lung was entirely reinflated. The rib was totally healed. There was no sign of a break from before. And it was entirely broken in two. And so the Lord had just miraculously healed it. And yet, what's interesting, Susie, is that he still required me to cooperate with him about the adrenal issue. That did not go away. I had to learn to rest. I had to learn to use food as medicine. It was just such a clear signal to me from the Lord of, I am going to take care of you, and I am in the miracle business, but I do require you to maintain your miracles and to steward your health.
I'll never forget the time, Laura, back when I was still battling with a lot of the symptoms around Lyme's, but I was feeling so much better. But I was crying out to God for healing, and he spoke back to me something I'll never forget. He said, I could heal you today, but you'd lose it tomorrow because you don't have the infrastructure Ooh. To carry it, because your mind thinks like a sick person. Your worries think like a sick person. I want you to start thinking like a healthy person. That was many years ago. But, wow, that changed. I thought, I don't have the infrastructure because of the way that what I tell myself, you know. Well, when we come back, we're going to hear the rest of Laura's story about how God, one piece at a time, one hour at a time, rebuilt her and now uses her significantly to help us detox. And the title of her book, The 30-Day Faith Detox. We've got a few copies to give away. If you've got questions, now's the time to call 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, or email me, Susie, at myfaithradio.com. More with Laura Harris-Smith when we return. Hope you're having a great day today. I'm Susie Larson. This is of the promise. Have you ever thought about this, that God has called us to steward our health, our mind, body, spirit, that there's, it implies that we've got some choices, you know, the story we tell ourselves, the things we expose ourselves to, the stuff that we eat, the way that we care for ourselves, it really actually does matter. Talking to Laura Harris-Smith today, title of her book is The 30-Day Faith Detox, and we're hearing her story before the break. She talked about getting to a point of stage 3 adrenal fatigue. Stage 4, you die, your organs shut down. And in that place, God showed her steps to take with rest and diet and all kinds of things, and brought her back to full health. And now she became a nutritionist and she helps others. And especially, I think, people who are so bogged down by toxins, by life toxins. Well, I'll let her get into that. I keep trying to talk for her. I got to quit doing that. Okay, we got Joshua calling from Minneapolis, and he's got a question for you. Hey, Joshua, how you doing today?
Well, tired, but yeah. Not too bad.
You got a question for Laura today.
Yep. I was wondering what sort of methods or techniques, seems to be the wrong word, but are there to improve the quality or the duration of sleep? I've had a sleep study done, but it didn't really have any conclusive results. But I wake up, you know, way too often during the night. So I don't feel rested in the morning. And I know that sleep is a very important part to your body being able to fix itself.
But. Right. Well, Joshua, so you say you have had some sleep study tests done?
Yep. I don't have sleep apnea or the restless leg syndrome or any of the other more common issues. But and my cycles, like the REM cycles and everything, were intact.
Right.
But I wake up
a lot. That's good.
And it doesn't feel very nice in the morning.
Yeah. Okay. And let me ask you just a couple of questions. What have you – now, let me just tell you this. I actually had to write another book called Seeing the Voice of God, and this was a couple of years ago. It's a book on dreams, but because I really wanted to bring the body element into this, I studied and interviewed sleep study doctors and gathered sleep study information because I felt like that was such an important part of us understanding biblical dreams, the dreams that God gives us. If he's trying to communicate with us today, why did he create this thing called sleep? Shouldn't we be, you know, it's almost like we're a captive audience. He has an opportunity every single night to speak to us. And so I really believe that the enemy tries to come against our sleep. It's a sacred time created by God to rest and heal our bodies, but also to hear from him. So the first piece of advice I'm going to give you is pray over your sleep. Anoint your bed with oil. Get somebody to agree and pray with you, because this is much more than a physical battle. This is a spiritual battle to take that third of your life away. And it is we spend a third of our lives in bed, or we should. So I really urge you to, first of all, battle it that way, because Psalm 127:2 says that the Lord gives his beloved sleep. And so you claim that. I'll just tell you, I had a woman, one time I was in public, I was at a forum, and it was a medical forum, and she stood up and she just told a heart-wrenching story about her little girl who was on all kinds of sleep aids and seizure medicines, and oh, it just broke my heart as she went on. And I thought, you know, she doesn't know me from Adam, but I'm going to slip her a little note. I had to leave the meeting a little early, and I just wrote on it, this is the verse that works for me, Psalm 127:2. And I sent it, or I took it over to her, and just on a whim, I thought, I'm going to put my email address just in case, you know, she has any questions. And I got an email sometime within the next year thanking me, saying that not only had it worked when she prayed it over her little girl, but she told me that she was an artist and that she had painted a mural on her daughter's wall with Psalm 127:2, and she sent the picture of it in the email. And I just cried. Mm. I thought, wow, there's power in God's word. And it so changed their lives that they made a visual reminder of it every night. So whatever you've got to do, first of all, treat this, you know, primarily with Word of God. And then say it.
Joshua.
You know, do those.
Sorry, we're getting a little drop. We're getting a little drop in your phone there a little bit, Laura. Sorry, I thought you were done there. Joshua, we've got two other calls in the bottom of the break coming, but we're going to get you a copy of Laura's book, The 30-Day Faith Detox. Thank you so much for calling in. And check out Laura's book, Seeing the Voice of God. She's got some real tangible advice on just sleep issues. Very, very interesting book. Tom is checking in from Fargo. How are you doing today, Tom?
Hi, Susie. Say this, the timing of your guest is obviously God's timing. My wife and I are just about to start a 21-day a Daniel fast tomorrow.
Mm.
And so I guess I had a comment was, I told Grace it was just a comment, but I guess it's partially a question. But I absolutely agree with your guest that the spiritual needs, God's really impressed upon my wife and my heart and my wife's heart to do this fast, to get our bodies ready. We really believe there's something big going to happen, and he's really impressed upon a fast. And so would this be the start, if a person does this Daniel fast, could this be incorporated into your guest's 30-day fast?
Well, first of all, Tom, congratulations to you and Grace. You are, hats off to you. I wish more people would seriously undertake, not just, you know, gaining proper health, but seeing the connection between food and health and the absence of food, fasting, and your spiritual health. So that's awesome, first of all. Second of all, yes. If you'll notice right now, I don't know if you're aware, but this is the Lent season. Many Christian denominations all over the world are observing these 40 days of prayer and fasting. And so we're actually taking our entire church. We pastor a church in Nashville, Eastgate, and we're taking our entire church through the 30-day faith detox because it is primarily a vegetables and fruit routine. You can have quinoa. You can have meat if you like. I recommend you go through it veggie style, but the point being is that because it so similarly resembles a Daniel fast, that many people are really enjoying this as an alternative to just saying, oh, I can eat any fruits and vegetables. They're liking the specialized, I call them organ-specific vegetable routine that the book outlines so that by the end of the book, you've done a total body detox. So, I'm really excited about that part. We spend about a 10-day ramping up period. There's a section in the first part of the book that's just all about faith, and then the last 30 days, which is technically that is the entire body, mind, and spirit routine. So if you just want to do 21 days, that's fine, but I encourage you to invest a whole month in yourself and set some new patterns.
Tom, you're going to love this because it's going to get into your thought pattern, thanks to prayer. She speaks a blessing over you with each chapter. You're going to get a copy of Laura's book. Kelly from Vyborg, South Dakota, we have a hard break right here. If you're able to hang on, I pray that you are so you can ask the question yourself. If not, if you need to hang up and listen, I will read your question. Grace typed it up on the board for us. But Kelly, hang on if you can. More with Laura Harris-Smith when we return. Tuning in today, having a really fascinating conversation with Laura Harris-Smith. She's a certified nutritional counselor. She's a pastor's wife. She's someone who came very close to losing her life with adrenal fatigue, and then she became an expert in the area. Title of her book is The 30-Day Faith Detox, Renew Your Mind, Cleanse Your Body, Heal Your Spirit. This is really one of the most comprehensive books I've seen that deals with our faith, with our diet, with our health. And we're taking calls right now. We've got Kelly on hold from Vyborg, South Dakota, holding patiently. Kelly, thanks for waiting. Thank you for waiting today. What's your question?
Hi,
how are you today?
Good. I have a question. I work swing shifts, 12 hours nights, 12 hours days, and I'm a travel nurse, so I also travel. But I thought I was getting plenty of sleep. I'm tired all the time. But then when you talk about how you're taking on other people's stress.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Does this sound like the adrenal problem, or?
Well, it's going to be
impossible.
Right. I hear you saying that you are, when you say 12-hour shifts, do you mean you work 12 hours and you're off 12 hours?
No, I work 4 to 7 12-hour shifts in a row sometimes, overnight, sometimes days.
Okay, so you have no regular sleep pattern is the problem. You need to be in a with the body rhythms that are regular. Even if you're working in the middle of the night, you need to consistently work in the middle of the night. And so I would just say that if you are in a season where this is happening, you know, and you cannot get out from under it, or you're the main provider for your household, then ask God for grace. But ultimately, ask Him to help you find a more static schedule so that your sleep does not have to be cheated. If you're telling me that you're feeling tired, and if you're telling me that you know, yes, it sounds to me like you incur a lot of other people's stress and a lot of other people's needs, then you've got to take care of you. You can rob Peter to pay Paul, and, you know, we can be thankful for grace, but ultimately God has created laws and put them in place in our bodies that require us to rest.
Okay,
I just pray that you would be able to do that, really, Kelly.
Thank you.
So even our this flip schedule is not healthy, is what I'm hearing, correct?
You're cutting in and out. I'm sorry?
Working alternative days and nights.
So that's
not healthy for my body. Okay.
It's not. But I would just say this. I don't know if sometimes I've been in seasons where we've had to work two jobs, but I have found that each time the Lord coordinated it to where it did not harm my health. So I would either ask, look at your finances. See, this could go back to so many things. Look at your finances. Look at how you're stewarding your finances. Look at the debt you're in. Why are you in that debt?
Okay.
Why are you having to work so hard? It's those kinds of questions, and God can unravel it. I can attest to the fact that He can.
Because it wasn't the finances that I do it. It's more that I travel so I can go to 5 different states to see 5 different kids and their families and my grandbabies. So I work a lot.
We're going to pause here, Kelly, because we've got a lot of calls coming in. But I do pray that God gives you the insight and the grace, because that healthy life rhythm, I mean, it's impossible, it seems, to get healthy without the healthy life rhythm. So, Kelly, thanks for that. May God just direct you. Carmen is checking in from Foxborough, Wisconsin. Carmen, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi,
Carmen.
Hi.
What you got for us today?
I have a question. Right now, I am currently battling kidney stones, and I've been battling them since mid-October. I've had 2 laser scope surgeries and still have fragments in there. And I'm just wondering if there's anything I can do. I can't take the medicine that is used for uric acid kidney stones, and I'm at a loss of what I can do.
Well, the first thing that I would do is to find a good Christian nutritionist in your area. I mean, a master nutritionist who is going to be able to listen to the story of your whole body, because chances are your kidneys would just not get sick first. There's some other underlying cause. And yes, God can unravel the whole situation. So I know I owe a huge part of my recovery to this woman that God sent to me, who and since I don't know your medical history, I can't be that person for you, but you need to sit with someone. Literally, a master nutritionist will sit with you for 4 or 5 hours the first time, and they will listen to your entire medical history and then help you, you know, unpack your recovery one move at a time, and I urge you to do that.
Thank you, Carmen, for that. I hope we get you a book. I don't know how many we have, but we know some people, so maybe we can get you a copy. God bless you, Carmen. Thank you so much. We're going to take one more call, Patty from North Dakota. Hey, Patty, how are you today?
Good. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I was just wondering, could you please tell me, I'm in a menopause, could you tell me what kind of tests you would recommend, you know, for like your adrenal? I know for thyroid, you know, you go into the doctor and they'll just do the one and say, okay, it's good. I know you should probably is it like the T3 and T4 and all that? And then for hormones, what would you recommend?
Yeah, mine happened at, I went through a very early menopause. Literally, my reproductive system was one of the organ systems that shut down. It's the one that I never got back. I have not come out of it. Now, and so, you know, most people, I have girlfriends who are saying, I want menopause for Christmas. Why couldn't that be me? You know, I'm just thinking, no. I have now such keen appreciation for the balance of hormones in a woman's body and wish I had all that back. But I can tell you that, you know, just from the nutritional things that I have done and asking God to just, you know, help balance all of that, I am on bioidentical hormones. I go to a doctor who can prescribe bioidentical hormones. It's all natural. And I'm on just a tiny amount. It's enough to what I call, it keeps away the power surges, you know, because we don't say hot flashes, we say power surges.
Perfect.
And so it made a lot of the difference, but I can honestly attest to the fact I don't feel any younger than I was off of them. That youthfulness was returned to me with dietary changes and new sleep health. So I can tell you that if you will first do that, you will begin to notice a difference in your overall body. Then you'll see where you are instead of just going to a doctor and getting on a bunch of, you know, progesterone or estrogen. That's really not going to fix the underlying problem. So if you've got thyroid issues, if perhaps adrenal issues you're not aware of, you need to start there instead of just attacking your hormones. It could be that you don't have enough cholesterol in your body to make the hormones that you need to. And so that's a whole other issue about how we're all trying to lower our cholesterol, and your body actually needs cholesterol to make your hormones. So it's just little things like that, really starting at the very bottom and not just going after treating, you know, the symptoms. It's going in and figuring out where the root cause is.
Thank you so much for that call, Patty. So what were your first steps? So the doctors are saying you've got to do a complete overhaul with your life. And before you kind of engage, and maybe the first steps were this 30-day faith detox, but what did those first days look like, first steps look like?
My first steps were elimination. I had to make some choices of things to cut out. It wasn't just what am I going to begin consuming. It was coming up with, in the book, what I call the no thanks list. I cut all wheat and all sugar out of my diet. Now, here's the reason. I know some people think that's extremely unnecessary and extreme, but wheat, today's wheat, it's very hard to process on the body. And Susie, you and I talked about this last time. You know, if only it was Jesus's wheat and the wheat that Jesus talked about, or if only it was even our grandmother's wheat, you know, you would think that there's nothing wrong with wheat in and of itself. But the fact is that it's been genetically modified for mass production to meet demand. I understand that. But to the point to which it is the head of the wheat, the gluten, and of course the gluten is the glue in the bread, it makes it doughy. It has been genetically modified to grow very fast, very large, and now in some cases a head of wheat will contain 10 times more gluten than it did even, you know, 20, 30 years ago. So what happens is our bodies have not changed and evolved to be able to digest that much. So it sits on the gut and it rots. So what do? We respond by taking an antacid. What does antacid do? It shuts down the digestive juices. We look at it like solving heartburn. Oh, just going to take something to solve the heartburn. Well, heartburn is your digestive juices working overtime, trying to dissolve and digest something you put on your stomach that is not digesting. So as a result of taking the antacid, the food just sits there and festers. It continues to rot. We wind up with wheat belly, weight gain around the middle, leaky gut disease, just all these different things. So the first thing I did was to eliminate certain foods that were just hard on the body to process. And with those out of the way, my organs were able to really have nothing else to do but heal. And then I chose foods that could nourish them.
How long did it take for you to notice a difference getting gluten and sugar out of your diet?
Wow, I can tell you exactly, because I was diagnosed in December, I guess this was 2012, and then in January, a month later, my son was married, and I had been eating this way for about a month. I had been on bed rest, And I was, you know, I wasn't even supposed to be off bed rest, much less go to a wedding. And, you know, it takes a lot of stamina as the mother of the groom. And so I remember I was sitting there. And, of course, there was dancing. We were just having so much fun. Everybody's out on the dance floor. And I'm thinking, I'm sitting here at my son's wedding. I am going to get on that dance floor. I was so determined. And so I just put it to the test. I thought, you know, I've been eating this way a month. This either works or it doesn't. I know I'm not fully recovered yet. But I got up and I went for it. And I'm happy to say that I was dancing my heart out for like 3 or 4 songs. And then I went over and I sat down and I thought, okay, good. This is proof that I'm making progress. And it was only after, like I said, just 4 short weeks of just eliminating the wrong things and replacing it with the right things. They told me it'd take 18 to 24 months to turn everything around and every organ around, but it only took 6. And my nutritionist told me, she said, it is an absolute miracle, but she said it's a testimony to your discipline. So I fully acknowledge that comes through grace, but it is a choice, and you do have to stick with it. I'm telling you, though, you will see the benefits.
We're going to take our last break when we come back. So we heard about what Laura eliminated, the wheat and the sugar. I'm gluten, dairy, and soy free and have very minimal sugar, but I never feel good when I have it. So, but what a difference that even has made in my life and my mental clarity. When we come back, I'll have Laura share about what were the things that she actually added in. We're going to talk about Epsom salt baths. We're going to talk about organ-specific foods, such interesting stuff. Obviously, this is our last segment. So Lord willing, we want Laura to come back again next month so we continue this conversation. Don't go away. More with Laura Harris-Smith when we return. Grace is sufficient for us, and power is made perfect in our weakness. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Really blessed to have our friend Laura Harris-Smith join us. She's a pastor's wife, also a certified nutritional counselor. If you just tuned in, you got to go back and catch the whole podcast. Laura tells a story of just driving on all cylinders, basically, and hitting a place of absolute fatigue and almost adrenal failure, organ failure from adrenal fatigue, and how she became an expert in the field of nutrition, and God helped her rebuild her life by establishing regular healthy sleep patterns, getting things out of her diet that needed to go, adding things to her diet that needed to stay. And we've been getting all kinds of calls where we feel like we're just scratching the surface while we see those calls getting processed. I got to tell you, a dear listener, a regular listener, she wants to remain anonymous, though, said that you mentioned carrying other people's worries. How can we not do that if we're so prone to it? What would you suggest?
Mm-hmm. Well, and also, you know, there is an interesting breed of us called intercessors that welcome the burden of the Lord. And we ask for the burden of the Lord. And even if every person on earth left us alone, we would still carry the burden of the Lord,
right?
His burdens, his heartaches. If you ask for that, he's going to break his heart, break your heart for what breaks his. He is going to allow you to experience those things that can be fuel for prayer. So it really is a supernatural dance. You have to ask the Lord for grace to carry this. And to vow to him to be a person of faith so that you pray through these burdens, and then you get up and you walk away and you know that those prayers are answered. They are taken care of. The answer is on the way. If you decide to be a person of worry instead, you really cannot be a person of faith, because faith and worry won't share the stage together.
Yeah, we've said this on the show before, but they're opposing forces. You've got to turn your back on one to behold the other. And I think there is something
right
about that. If you don't have the grace to carry it, you're not the person to carry it, because there are different measures, don't you think, of burdens to carry. So
yes.
Okay,
yes.
We've got Rebecca checking in from Monona, Wisconsin. Is that right,
That's
Rebecca?
Correct.
Hi, how are you today?
It's so close to Madison, people think it's Madison.
But you got your own city. What do you have for Laura today?
Well, I have a case of osteoporosis.
Mm.
pretty badly, mm-hmm. I guess. I've joked about it. I said I think I'll make a deal with them when I get cremated that I need a 50% discount
exactly.
because I'm already half done.
Oh, bless your heart.
Oh, my word. Ugh.
What's your question for Laura today?
Well, it's, you know, besides improving my walking and things like that, I'm in enhanced assisted care. I have lived through a double whammy, congested heart failure and kidney failure because I had a splendid surgeon, but maybe his team didn't estimate properly the mm-hmm. length of shaft they put in, and it was mm-hmm. so significant. I'm 5 inches shorter than that. Caused the other hip several years later to need to be replaced. So, and I've had a fallen as I was young, so I do have a very twisted scoliosis spine, other things going on, and was born with part of a rudimentary sixth lumbar. So I've got some other congenital things, but I just need to know if there's, you know, other some other foods. I'm having to be very selective because the foods here, we only have two alternatives in choosing our menu. And many times I simply don't eat because I'm already avoiding the gluten and sugar thing you're talking about.
Right. Well, I can tell you this, that you have had, bless your heart, a myriad of total body, problems. However, one of the things that I try to accomplish in the 30-day faith detox is a total body cleanse, a total body detox. So I can tell you that you'd be a great candidate for it. However, if what you're asking is, what can I do specifically for my bones or what foods can I eat? Because I don't want to replace whatever your doctor is doing or whatever kind of medical routine that you're on.
No, they have.
I can tell you that.
I told the last doctor I talked to that I believe I'm going to be going to a naturopathic doctor.
Good. Well, you know, I can tell you that in my research, and I outlined this in the book, I tried to educate the reader on which color foods help which organs, because, you know, the foods are the vegetables and fruits that we have are not the colors that they are because of, you know, whatever mood God was in at the moment he created them. They are clues. Those colors are clues as to things that the phytonutrients they contain. So I can tell you that for your bones, your skeletal system, it loves the color orange. Orange are, that's a carotenoid, get it? It sounds like carrot. And it is just loaded with antioxidants. Plants appear to produce carotenoids as a means to protect against the sun's harmful rays and energy. They make the plant strong. So imagine what they can do to protect your body when you eat them. So, yes, you can reach for anything orange. Oh, my goodness, that's oranges, papayas, grapefruit, sweet potatoes, you know, peaches, apricots, orange peppers, anything, carrots. And, of course, there are greens as well that are specifically good for your bones. And I list those in the book as well. But orange, just think orange. Aren't you glad?
Very good. Well, dear Rebecca, thank you for your call today. I hope we can get you a copy of this book. And you are a trooper. And what a sweet spirit you have after everything you've been through. If we've run out of Laura's books, we're going to find you some encouraging devotional to send you. So Grace will get your address. And we've got one caller. We've just got time for one more question, I think, before we pray, maybe two. But this caller said, I have an overactive bladder. I'm up every 2 hours in the night. I'm not sure what else I might try to bring relief there. What say you?
Well, I would say that this could be so many different things. That region, you know, it has so many neighboring organs that I would really hate to even attempt to give a dietary solution for something that could be a neighboring problem. And so I definitely would say seek some medical intervention. But I also would say that your bladder and your whole urinary tract loves cranberries. This is why whenever we have a bladder infection or a UTI, you can sip on cranberry juice. I'm not cocktail, but the 100% raw stuff, you know, it's really tart. I have only had one bladder infection in my life, but I actually just sipped cranberry juice, put it by my nightstand with a straw, and I sipped it all night to just keep it flowing through that system. And, you know, it works. And so I would tell you, just for overall bladder health, I would say definitely eat those foods. Also, cranberries are unique in that, of course, they're red, but overall in the detox section for the urinary tract body system in the 30-day faith detox, it's the color yellow that whole area of our body loves. Yeah, you know, the yellows, like in your yellow peppers and your bananas and your squashes and those type things. So no color is bad for any part of the body, but specifically your digestive tract, your excretory tract, and your urinary tract really respond well to those yellows. If it's a frequency issue that you're talking about with urination in the middle of the night, I really urge you to go get that checked out.
Thank you for that call. Appreciate it. We're not taking any more calls because our time is wrapped up here. And Laura, I would love it. And you can just, if it works, love to have you come back next month so we can really lay out the 30-day. But there you can see this is touching on such a great need. Got another question before we wrap up and pray. You mentioned Epsom salt baths. And I remember last month you said you want a good pound of Epsom salt in that bath. Do you have a duration that's ideal for someone who's trying to just detoxify their body that way?
Yes, they need to sit in a pound of Epsom salts for 20 minutes at least. Epsom salts is 100% magnesium sulfate. It is so powerful. Even my then 12-year-old daughter said it best when she asked me where the magnesium came from, and I said, oh, well, it comes from the ocean. It's salt. And she said, well, then no wonder going to the beach is so freeing and so relaxing. It's like a big Epsom salt bath in the ocean.
That's awesome. So 20 minutes at least.
Draws the toxins out.
Okay.
Yes.
Very, very good. Well, this has been fantastic. And I've got my show notes in front of me. Didn't even touch them. That just goes to show you. We followed where God led, though. I think we addressed the things our listeners wanted. Would you pray for us that we would lose our taste for the things that weaken us and acquire a taste for that which strengthens us?
Oh, yes. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you have given us appetite. But, Father, may we surrender those appetites to you, God. May we not be like Eve, who sinned because of appetite. May we not be like Esau, who sold his birthright for a pot of stew. May we not be like the Israelites, who grumbled because they didn't have the right food. May we be like Jesus, who resisted the temptation when told to turn stones into bread. And may we desire the good things you've given us on the third day of creation through plants and herbs and minerals and vitamins to stay healthy, God. Give us grace for change in Jesus' name.
Amen. Laura, thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Susie. Always good to talk to you.
Hope you can join us again. The title of her book, again, is The 30-Day Faith Detox. Renew your mind, cleanse your body, heal your spirit. Lord willing, we'll talk with Laura again next month and talk about this 30-Day Faith Detox. Check out her book and listen to this. Learned something today. Hope you were encouraged here today as well. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Remember this, you hear it most days. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He is the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.